Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Weekly Pint. This is the show that is not a show, which means there's not really a wrong way that you can do this, but I will say the right way to do it is to listen live with us every Monday night around 9:30. I'm running behind schedule. You know how it works in my house. There's always something going on, and there's plenty going on right now. But we're here, and you guys are here. And because it's a happy hour, not a show, it's important that you know that we're drinking together. Whatever it is you're drinking, you're supposed to tell us what it is, and I will tell you what I'm drinking here in a minute, and we'll do it together. And we'll talk about what's going on in the world. You guys kind of have a general idea of what's going on in the world. It's been very wet, and we're going to talk about that. We'll definitely talk about that. I have some news stories we could talk about. I have some things to drink. All kinds of fun stuff. Also things that I just realized I didn't write down. So now I don't actually know what any of my buttons do. So this will be exciting. If it was a show, that would be terrible and very, very... not professional of me, but luckily it's not a show. And I just realized, so I usually always have a side beer, and I just left it all the way over there. Hang on. Well, hang on. We got the side beer. My wonderful wife, I stopped and picked up a bunch of my urban beer that... I had been leaving at the tap room for a very long time, and I brought it home, and she started like picking through it and stealing things, and I said, whoa, this is not okay. You cannot steal my beers. But the kind, loving gnome that I am, I gave her one, and then she generously gave me half of it back because she was drinking it tonight. So this is like chocolate banana or something, I believe. Chocolate banana, that's exactly what it is. Oh, it's good. All right. I shouldn't have drank that first. Now, my palate is going to be all messed up for the schnappening. If you are new to this or you haven't been hanging out for a little bit, kick every single show off with a little nip of something. Sometimes schnapps, sometimes not really schnapps, but maybe wannabe schnapps. This one I've had on the show before. I don't know if I would classify this as schnapps or just a liqueur. I don't know. This is, again, from Darna. This is the Orahovic. We have had it before. It's walnuts. And if I remember right, it was delicious. It says, Orahovic is a traditional walnut liqueur that has been enjoyed in our region for centuries. This sophisticated nutty liqueur is moderately sweet with a hint of natural caramel flavor. It can be consumed in a variety of cocktails over ice or chilled. Enjoy Darna's Orahovic as a dessert drink after a fine meal. All right. Cool. All right. So as everybody's getting on, tell me what you're drinking. And we'll crack this thing open. Let's see. If I can go back in the chat here, looks like Josh is having a Columbus double cold IPA. Extra cold, that's how I like my IPAs. Marco is having a rounding third from Mad Tree. Good choice. Let's see, Julia is having Mad Tree's double C in colors. Joe is having Cincy Light. Mark Miller is not telling us what he is drinking. We'll let it slide. Tell us what you're drinking. All right. Let's get this in the glass here and see if it's as good as I remember it being. I'm going to pour myself a nice little healthy nip because I remember it being good. Maybe my memory will betray me. I don't know. All right. Hit with the drink cam so you can get a good peek at it. It's kind of got like a little red tinge to it, but yeah, it's brown, kind of like booze. I have this little clip here that I hook my headphones on, and I just realized it's in the shot and looks terrible. Sorry. Kind of podcaster am I? It's brown, a little bit of some red tinge, maybe like a cherry cola, like a flat cherry cola. not a lot to look at. It's much more fun to look at beers on the drink cam than it is booze. Whatever. All right, so let's get into this. Oh yeah. It's kind of got like an earthy fall kind of smell to it. And then there is definitely that kind of that sweet, nutty. I know it's walnuts, but it kind of reminds me of like a hazelnutty kind of thing. Yeah, it smells really like sweet and syrupy. All right, let's see. Cheers, bottoms up, prost, however we want to do that. Definitely super sweet. It's like it's thick and almost syrupy, kind of coats your mouth. Not boozy at all. It's 20%, so I mean, not that boozy, but boozy enough. But yeah, super sweet, just loaded with sugar. It's dessert like. I think they even probably said that on there. I would not drink this in a cocktail. I just want it like this. Maybe over ice, but I think it's just like this. Like after dinner, like you're sitting there, kind of you want something to sip on. This is you know, this would be perfect for that. Like in a big bowl of ice cream or something. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, definitely does not classify as schnapps in my mind, but it's a fun little drink. All right, we'll accept it. That will. That'll work. That's good. I think out of all of that little variety pack, this was the last one out of the little four variety pack from this Darna distillery. Out of all of them, they were all good, except the one with the wormwood. That was not great. But the other three were all pretty solid. So if you see the little Darna variety pack somewhere, don't hesitate to pick it up. It's pretty solid. All right. We obviously need to talk about the rain. It has been super wet. In fact, we have a couple breweries that are feeling the chaos from it. Well, we should drink something while we talk about it. I'll let you guys pick. I have two things sitting in front of me, and chances are we'll probably get to both of them, depending on how quick I drink. I will let you guys pick. Do we want a beer? It's another urban beer, which I have one open urban beer sitting right here. So we could do another one. Or I have something that's a little different. Something that I've kind of had on the show, but I've never had this one, and I've never had this form. In fact, I've never tried this form before. So I'll let you guys choose whoever picks first. We can go beer or not beer. Marco's not pleased with the rain. I agree. I need a drink before I get into this, though. Somebody pick for me. Beer or not beer? When they told us how much rain we were expected to get, I was what I would call a little terrified. Our basement here has not always been. Julia says beer, not Urban Artifact. That is not a choice. I have an Urban Artifact beer or a not beer. All right. Joe says not beer. All right, we'll go not beer. That also requires a little cup. However, it's for fast drinking of lots of little amounts. And actually, maybe this doesn't go in a cup like this. Maybe it should be in something else. I don't know. I've never had this before, so I don't know how to drink it. This is called Yuki. It is a sparkling sake. So I've had lots of sake before. I have not ever had a sparkling sake, but here it is. Awayuki. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it. It could be very wrong. It is from Hakutsuru. I don't know. Awayuki sparkling sake. It's softly sweet sparkling sake with notes of peach, cucumber, watermelon, and just a hint of marshmallow cream. What? What? It's crisp, cool, and refreshing. It wants me to enjoy it chilled. Of course I am. I knew that even before reading it. Sake One is the company that imports this. They're out of Oregon. Part of Japan. Kobe, Japan, in fact. 5.5%. And then it gives me nutrition facts. Serving size, one bottle. Boom. Gotcha. Servings per container, one. 246 calories. Oh, my. All right, let's get into this. I'm going to put it in a little cup, like a little shot glass. I like these little stone shot glasses for drinking sake, but maybe you should probably put this like in a pretty glass, right? Like so you can see all the bubbles and stuff. I don't know. I'm new to this. All right. Let's see if I can find some marshmallow cream. I think this was the right choice. Woo, that's going to overflow. It's not going to overflow. Because I feel like I'm going to drink this bottle really fast. I feel like it's going to go down quick. Maybe not, though. I never know where to put anything, so it's not in your way or my way. This is probably the better angle for you guys, but now it's right in the middle of everything for me. Who's more important, you or me? You guys are, of course. All right, let's get into this and see what we can find. It's definitely sparkling. Like, I don't have a good camera angle. I don't have the overhead cam, but you can see that it's all fizzy. I guess you probably can't see. Maybe a little bit. It's fizzy in there, right? You can tell. I don't get marshmallow cream, and I'm really disappointed in that because it promised marshmallows. I'm getting more of like a funk. Like a yeasty funk, which is not in a bad way. Maybe it's yeasty marshmallows that I'm smelling. I don't know. Let's see. Kanpai. Okay, that's pretty interesting with the bubbles. And yeah, super light, refreshing, fruity. I definitely get the watermelon and like a maybe like a cantaloupe-y kind of fruit. The marshmallows are hunting, but maybe like a fluffy cream kind of thing. But not, no, it's just, okay. It's good. It's actually really good. Yeah, this like over ice, like in like a glass, would be pretty good. Maybe I wouldn't taste as much with the ice, though. But it would make it more refreshing. Yeah, that's delicious. It tastes almost like some kind of a cocktail that you would get at some kind of, I don't know, beach bar or something. It's good. Yeah, I'm going to keep working through that, and then we'll open up the other one. You guys want, well, I won't spoil it. Yeah, we'll get to it later. I'll tell you what the other one is later. Flooding. Let's get back to that. Let's get back to the rain. What I was saying before, my basement is not always super dry, has not historically always been super dry. So when I saw how much rain we were expecting, I was a little terrified of what that meant for the house. To my surprise, I've stayed completely dry here. I've done lots of things trying to make sure that water does not come in my basement for the last, I don't know, decade. It's never makes me feel comfortable knowing how much could come in. And so when I saw the reports of how much rain we were going to get, I just assumed that at some point I was going to be mopping up water down here. And we've stayed dry, so I'm really happy about that. The same cannot be said for some of our local breweries, though. Namely, 13 Below, who I guess we should have probably assumed when we saw how much rain was coming and the predictions that they were probably going to get a little bit of water. And I think that they knew it was coming. They were definitely a little more prepared this time than they were the last time they flooded, which was 2018, I think. I'm going to assume it was 2018. I think that they were more prepared. Aside from them, Deadlow, I don't know that Deadlow actually has any water that they need to worry about. I think it's all staying away from their building. However, you can't really get to Deadlow easily now because of all of the flooding. So I believe that they are also closed, at least today. I don't know how many days they're closed or what that looks like for them. But you can't really get there, so they are closed. Another one that I was a little bit surprised to see. That's not an accurate statement. One that I wanted to make note of was the Logger House, which, of course, you know, they're right on the river. They closed. They do not have any water in the Logger House. However, the entire garage that they sit on top of, that definitely has, I believe, a couple feet of water in it. And there's definitely lots of flooding around them, and it's, again, hard to get to them. So they are closed. I'm going to try, the river crested today, so it'll be down a little bit tomorrow, but I'm going to try to get a peek at it tomorrow and see what it looks like. I did make it down in 2018. I actually should have pulled some pictures from that. That was a pretty good one. Good in relative terms. It started, getting me thinking about past floods and how much the river flooded. And I pulled some numbers just because I'm a nerd. The worst flood, well, there's two floods that I get a lot of people are calling out as the worst floods of all time in Cincinnati for different reasons. The flood of 1913, the river crested at 71 feet, which is about 10 feet higher than it did today. But the death toll was astronomical because it was 1913. There was not as many things in place to protect people from the floodwaters. So that one gets cited a lot as the worst. The absolute highest floodwaters, though, was the flood of 1937. There's a few buildings around town that have things painted on them to mark the floodwaters. Highmark is one that has a really great thing on the side, a gauge to show you how high the water was. And so the river crested today at 60.79 feet. In 1937, it crested at 80 feet, 80 feet even. So about 20 feet higher than what we're looking at right now, which is insane to think about. In my lifetime that I remember, so once I was older to be like, you know, actually noticing these things, we had just a few. There was 97. I know a lot of people remember that. It was rough. That was 64.7 feet. I remember driving downtown, and you know, we parked and walked down across the Sky Bridge to get over to the baseball stadium, and you could still get to that top deck and walk out, and you could see kind of the flood from there, and it was pretty nuts. And then the more recently, just a few years ago, 2018, when 13 Below flooded, that one was at 60.53, so just a little bit lower than what it is today. But it was again, obviously, pretty devastating for a lot of people. But the water is going to start dropping tomorrow, so people will start drying out. I did see, and I don't remember the name of the bar off the top of my head, or the town that it's in, someplace down in Kentucky that had some pretty serious flooding, and this bar decided, as the water was coming up and getting close to their building, that they were going to try to mitigate the damage themselves. So they flooded their own bar before the river could. I'm not making this up. This is an actual story that I stumbled across like maybe an hour ago as I was sitting with the family upstairs. And so they ran fresh water in their bar to flood their bar so that when the river came up and it met their bar, there was already water there and it couldn't get in and flood their bar. So their bar is full of this fresh, nice, clean water, whereas this nasty, murky, mucky, silty, disgusting river water isn't coming in. So once the water then recedes, cleanup is way easier. You can just dry things out and clean, and you're pretty good. Whereas a big part of the floodwaters when they come in is just all the crap they bring with them. It's disgusting. So this bar decided to mitigate that with their own flooding. I think it's innovative. It's clever. Hopefully the insurance company doesn't pull any shenanigans to try to not help them out because of that, because they flooded their own bar. I don't know. I'm going to definitely, if I remember, kind of keep up with that story and kind of see what happens with it and see how their cleanup goes and how all of the results of that are, because I've never heard of somebody doing that before, but I kind of love it. It's like, you know, screw you, river. You're not going to flood us out. We're going to do it ourselves. You can't fire me. I quit. You know, that kind of thing. Come by. That's good. I was going to make a video about this stuff, but I guess this counts. I am making a video. I talked to him. There we go. Julia's got it. Captain's Quarters, Riverside Grill in Prospect, Kentucky. In fact, everybody go give him a like on social media. Make sure we can show him some love. Which is a good point, too. As this flooding does kind of start receding and some of these businesses that are getting hurt by it, get to those places and support them afterwards, because not only have businesses been hurting lately, throw a flood into the mix, which actually we can go down that road a little bit. There was another news story that popped up. Actually, I made some artwork here. This little sad cash. There he is. Sad cash register. There was a Business Courier article that came out about it was titled "Soaring Salaries Are Weighing on Greater Cincinnati Restaurants," and I thought it was interesting. It didn't really dive in as deep as I wanted it to, and it's a topic that I've only kind of scratched the surface of in some of my research, just because it isn't really fitting into any of the stuff that I'm writing. But the gist of this article was that restaurants operate on very, very small margins already, and breweries are the same thing. Just the margins are not great. But after COVID, things have been already even excuse me, even more difficult. The article is kind of pointing out that as wages have increased in those 5 years since COVID, it's only made it harder on these restaurants to survive. And that's kind of why we're seeing an increase in closures. They make a note in here that wages for employees since January 2020 are now up 28%, which is great for employees. You know, we're making more money. Locally here, we're up 21%. On top of that, the tips that are coming in are up more than three times that pace. So tips are up almost 60% here locally from what they were before COVID happened. So people are in theory making more money, which is one of the big reasons that we're seeing the inflation that we are. Higher wages create more spending power. More spending power creates higher demand. Higher demand creates higher prices. Higher prices create inflation. And the fear of all of this is that smaller businesses are not going to be able to absorb some of those rising costs the same way that some of the big places are. And then we see mom and pop shops closing down because they just can't. Businesses, especially bars, restaurants, places like that, they're stuck trying to be competitive in a couple different ways. In paying employees, so you have to pay somebody competitively to get them to work for you, over going to Texas Roadhouse, where Texas Roadhouse is growing year after year after year, and you have to compete with whatever they're paying their employees. In addition, you have to compete with companies that maybe some of those rising costs of ingredients or the goods that you're selling, as those rise, you still have to be competitive with those. And at a certain point, people just don't want to spend more money. You know, they're okay with prices going up a little bit, but at a certain point, they just will stop going. Marcus says, I would challenge the tip percentage. That's not my numbers. That's coming from the Business Courier. So, and it's not like that everywhere. Tip percentages in Cincinnati, I did see, were one of the highest cities as far as that increase in Ohio. So we're doing better than Columbus or Cleveland as far as how much the tip percentages have risen. People have tip fatigue and many times tip less. However, 20% seems to be the standard. Any auto tip functions start at 25, and it blows my mind. I very rarely tip 20% anymore. 20% is the bottom of the barrel, just me personally, and I don't always like that. Sometimes it makes me feel a certain type of way. I know that there's a lot of people in that boat. Tip fatigue is a real thing, but I don't think that. Well, I mean, I don't have numbers to say that tip fatigue is hurting businesses, but it has to be. It has to be making people go out less. If when you go out, you're spending more money, you then will not go out as much. So I say all of this in to tell you, just, you know, when these places start opening back up after all this flooding, go to those places that you love and support, and maybe support them a little bit more. Josh says, I waited tables. I know how ass it is. I always hook up my waiters unless they're completely undeserving. Yeah, it's they're and you go in some places and you can just see that it's one of those nights, and you can see that it's rough. And we want to support these people that, especially if you're somebody like me, I spend a lot of time sitting on one side of a bar and engaging with bartenders, having bartenders wait on me. I want to support those people. These are people that I spend a lot of time around. So, I don't. It's not that I have a problem tipping people, especially in a situation like a bar or restaurant where I'm getting this direct service with people. But the fatigue is coming from all the other stuff. There's a lot of businesses where somebody isn't really giving me service. I'm expected to tip. That's a little strange. And it didn't used to be that way. So I get it. And it is making businesses, you know, when wages are going up across the board, it's making them trying to figure out other ways to supplement that cost and make it so that they can survive around it, I guess. Zach says, happy National Beer Day. Yeah, it's National Beer Day, and I am drinking sake. Josh says, they get fatigue from an $18 burger. I agree with that, too. Not that I have a problem with an $18 burger if it's worth $18. But I miss the days where you could go out to lunch and get a lunch that didn't cost you $30. You know, if you're getting a burger and a beer, it shouldn't cost me $30. I get it, and you know, there's not a lot we can do about it. But man, it's painful, and it makes me not go places as much as I would otherwise. So I say all of this because the flooding, find ways to support the places you love, I guess. It's like the theme of the year, conscious spending, you pay attention to where you're spending your money, make it places that make sense. Zach says, technically, we're the only country that expects tips for dine-in. Actually, just found this out. Again, I have no problem with using tips to supplement the income of servers and bartenders and places, people like that. No issue with that at all. I think it's a great way to create good service. I don't know that tips should be a way to make things more affordable for the business, if that makes sense. I think that as it as I don't know how to word it. I as tipping culture kind of grows and gets a little more out of hand, it's going to end up doing the opposite, and it's going to make it harder for people to make a good livable income because people aren't going to be going out the way they were before. That's what I think. And it becomes a vicious cycle at a certain point. Julia says a tip should be a bonus, not the way they make a living wage. Yeah, sort of. And the way the system works right now, you know, your server or your bartender is their technical minimum wage is a very low number, and then they get tips, unless that wage does not equal minimum wage. Then they get minimum wage from their employer, which, you know, during COVID, for example, if a place was open and people were not making the tips, the companies were making up that other side. But that number, that minimum wage number, should probably be maybe a little bit higher. I don't know. I'm torn on it. It's easy for me to say, because, you know, I usually am not making minimum wage at the same time. Sometimes I do. There are some days where I definitely am making minimum wage. Yes. Marco says, this is our culture. Tip your servers and bartenders. This is the way it currently is. So people, please tip. Yeah, do it. Like, if you listen, if you can't afford or don't want to tip somebody, don't go out. Don't even step foot in a bar, a restaurant, a brewery, none of that. Just don't step in there. A coffee shop, just don't go in. Just stay at home. Make it yourself at home. You don't have to tip at the grocery store. Buy your stuff at the grocery store and stay home. Build yourself a bar in your basement. You don't have to tip. That's hopefully we all understand that, right? Zach says, shit, I've heard that tips are being added to things like shopping at a place such as the dollar store. You'll see a prompt on the pay screen that says you'd like to tip. And then, I have not seen that. We spend a lot of time at the dollar store. My kids love the dollar store, and I've never seen a tip prompt there. I'm trying to think of like the weirdest place that I've seen it, and I can't really think of a great example right now. But it does pop up. Like, you know, there's a lot of the POS systems that'll be like a default. And at the same time, if you're operating a business, say you've got a store and you I don't know, you sell shoes. And maybe that's a great one, actually. The shoes. So I go to a shoe store and I walk in and I kind of know what I want, but somebody comes out and they help me and they go in the back and they get my size and bring it out to me. And then when I go up and I pay for my shoes, I don't have to tip them. But you know what? Like, maybe to have the option to be able to, especially now that things are, we're all paying with cards. We're not paying cash like we used to. At one time, if you wanted to slip the person that helped you at the shoe store an extra, you know, $5, you could. You just handed it to them, and we don't have cash anymore. So having the option and the ability to tip whoever you want to in a very easy, kind of quiet way, I guess, is fine. I have no problem with it. But to make people feel like they're supposed to, I think is an issue in some places. Julia says, next time I'm at the Gnarly Gnome Tavern, if you pour all my drinks, I'll leave a tip. I'm never pouring all the drinks because that's too much work. Zach says, I'm using this as an example. At weird places, you'll see tips added. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think anybody should be obligated to tip at places where you're not getting service. But where if you're getting service, you should. Yeah, I now that I'm thinking about it, I can't think of a good example of a place that I felt like I shouldn't leave a tip that I felt that I can remember feeling obligated to. But That is the thing you're hearing from places and people, I guess. Got to get working on this sake so we can drink some beer. Kanpai. You know, something that every time I find myself enjoying it, I really want to leave a tip. You guys know where this is going. Every time I put this in my mouth, I want just the tip. That's right. Dick's potato chips. Just the tip. Dick's potato chips. We love these guys. Huge shout out to Dick's. Dick's makes this show possible. They're a sponsor of this, and they, in addition to supporting me and the Weekly Pint, I support them wholeheartedly because the chips are delicious. I always keep them down here in the basement at the Gnarlium Tavern. I will not serve them to you, even if you tip me, but you can get them yourself. You can pull them off. I have a whole tower of them here, and I have a whole other tower out there because I need dicks all over the basement. Dicks everywhere. It doesn't matter how much it's raining outside. It can be an absolute downpour. There can be tornado warnings, and you can be huddled up in the corner of the basement, and you can sit and eat dicks, and it makes it all okay. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, if you have never had Dick's Potato Chips, go to dickspotatochips.com and order some. Get them delivered to your house. Even better, get them delivered for Mother's Day. Give them to your mom. Moms love Dick's. There's a lot of snacks in the world, and not all of them are as fun and as delicious as Dick's. So support them. I do. They support us. They make this all work. So thank you to Dick's. Huge shout out to Dick's Potato Chips. We got to get working on this sake. Jeez, guys, you're making me talk too much. It is way harder to pour because it's so fizzy. I wonder, is this like naturally carbonated, or do they add carbonation? Is this like a traditional style, or is this like a new kind of yuppie thing that they do? Is the term yuppie, is that offensive? I don't know. I'll tip the manager to cut the mic. What? Oh, here we go. I missed a couple. Let's see. Zach says, what about the pour-yourself beer places? Do we tip there? That's the great example. That is one that that I have experienced. And I'm, of course, I do tip. I tip everywhere. But that's one that I do feel a little strange about, depending on how much interaction I have. And I've been to some of these places. I've walked in the door. I have gotten my little card. I've ordered a beer, a couple beers, poured myself my own little beers, gotten food, ordered that myself on a kiosk, went and picked it up. Like, literally didn't talk to anybody. And then as I'm leaving, I'm tipping. And that is a case that I don't think those employees should be being paid as tipped employees. I think they should be being paid differently. However, if they're being paid as tipped employees and part of their wages depend on tips, we have an obligation to do that then at that point, if that makes sense. Marco says, if I'm doing comedy at an open mic, don't tip. And that's where Julia says, I'll tip the manager to cut the mic. I will tip somebody to give me some kind of fruit that I can throw at Marco. That's delicious. I did promise last week that we would kind of recap some April Fool's shenanigans. We can do that here. If I can get through the sake. Zach says, tell me you're drinking a beer tonight, though, too. Yes, it's right there. I can see it. It's sitting right there, teasing me. Although I have a side beer, too. There's always lots of drinks around me. Let's see if I can figure this out. If I click this and then go here, we should be able to, well, crap. I didn't set this up. I don't know what's going to pop up when I click this. Nothing pops up when I click that. Okay, what if I do this? Give me just a second to figure this out, guys. I'm new at this. This should be that. Not that. It should be that. There we go. That should work. All right. Okay. This is not all breweries. Zach says, you know you're an alcoholic when. The drinks aren't always booze. There's lots of different drinks that I drink. So Red Wine Company is a bar over in Reading, and not a wine bar, despite their name. And they posted this. I don't remember what the caption was. I didn't save any of the captions here. It's just the pictures. But it was about this new Bloody Mary that they were going to serve, which is a massive, giant stein of a Bloody Mary with it's like massive chicken tenders and like sausages, and the olives I think are like this big. it's hilarious. It makes me laugh, which is what I want from the April Fool's shenanigans. I did see definitely a rising trend of people using AI to help them create their jokes, which is fine. It's a little less fun than it used to be. It used to be that when people were creating their April Fool's jokes, that they had to go through a little bit of effort to make the joke happen. Whereas now somebody be like, oh, tomorrow's April Fool's Day, I forgot to make a post. And they can just whip something up real quick. But also those big blocks of like cheese, like huge chunks of like cheddar cheese in the Bloody Mary, I don't know. I hate Bloody Marys. I want to like them so bad, and I just don't. Let's see if I can find how to move on. There we go. Westside whipped this one out. A collaboration with Catch a Fire. A pizza beer using pizza ingredients. So kind of on that same level as a Bloody Mary. Looks like tomato juice, cheese, pepperoni. Oh man. Yep. I don't love this idea, but it's funny. It's also a fun little kind of tie in with Catch a Fire, kind of, showcasing both businesses. I would try it once. I don't want to, but I would try it. This was an example of somebody that was using AI. I appreciated this because it was a Fireside Pizza. They said that they were making a change, and from now on, they were going to use AI to just showcase all of their all of the things that they make. And then the pictures got a little more ridiculous each time you scrolled through them. This was looks like Crab Rangoon pizza, is what it looks like to me. Which again, I would try, but it also looks like there might be some broccoli on the middle there. Is that broccoli? Or is that like cilantro or parsley? I don't know what I'm looking at there, but there's some weird ingredients on that pizza. it kind of goes back to a couple weeks ago. You guys know that I got chewed out a little bit because I said that restaurants should not use AI to to advertise their food. I think it's wrong. And so it was funny to see somebody kind of playing on that. I like it. New Wales. Their new beer. It's the lightest beer that you will ever have because it kind of looks like water. But as we currently live in a world where light beer is still reigning king of beer, and craft breweries are getting in on that trend and making their own light beers, I thought this was kind of appropriate and funny. And I love what New Wales is doing on their social media. I think that they're doing a really good job of engaging and keeping it fun and actually paying attention to what they create. And this was a good one. Kanpai. Moving on. Madtree. Madtree always does a great job. They made Min, which is pouched beer. So if anybody has not been like up on this trend, I've read a little bit about it. I don't really understand it. I certainly have never tried it because it weirds me out. Zin are these little packs, like little like tea bags that have, I guess, nicotine that you just shove in your mouth and then the nicotine gets absorbed in your gums. I don't get it. It takes away all of the fun of sitting and smoking a cigar or something like that. I don't understand it. But they are super popular with all the kids, I guess. And Madtree said that they had decided to create a version that is beer. You no longer have to drink your beer. You can get your little tea bag, shove it in your cheek, and drink your beer that way. That's I think that there's a lot of things that this says about the state of the industry and kind of where things are going, and not all of it is that crazy. I love it. I love this on so many different deeper levels about kind of where things are right now. We're almost done with our sake. Moving on. I think we're getting close to the end here. Oh, Wandering Monsters. Okay. This is a great example. It's a joke. Wandering Monsters, sparkling water. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a little bit obsessed with sparkling water. I drink a ton of it. And I love Liquid Death as one of the brands that I buy a lot of. If you guys have not tried this new Liquid Death soda flavored water stuff that they're making, if you like soda, it's incredible. Like it's not loaded with sugar like soda, but it's got all those same flavors and it's like really drinkable, which I recognize soda is too, but you can sit there and drink this the same way you would drink kind of a sparkling water, but it's soda flavored. Like it's so crazy. The root beer is really, really good. I had the I think they call it Dr. Death, the Dr. Pepper flavored soda. Had that the other day. It was really good. There's one other one that I have not tried yet, but I say all this because if a local brewery was able to or wanted to make a sparkling water and package it, I would probably buy it. I don't know that I'll buy it in bottles, which is funny. I would probably try it. Not probably, I would, if it was priced reasonably. Julia says, I've not had the orange one yet. They have a cola, Dr. Pepper, and a root beer. I had an orange. There was a bunch of Liquid Death on sale the other day, and I picked up a 8-pack or something of the big giant cans of some kind of orange, and I didn't love it. It was, can't remember what it was called, but didn't like it. Josh says the cola one tasted like the bottle caps candy. Yeah. I thought the root beer was amazing. Zach says, who's everybody got in the last two teams for the Final Four tonight? I'm pulling for the Houston Cougars. I have no idea who's even in it anymore because I just don't care. That's kind of where I'm at. If it's not a local team that's still going, I'm kind of just over it. Like I don't really follow basketball that much, and it's just not my thing. Okay. 50 West with their pickle shake. This was a good example of one that got people kind of sad when they saw it, because they saw and they knew it was a joke, but they wanted it to be real. And I get that. Kind of the same as the sparkling water for me. That being said, I don't know that I need a pickle shake. I like pickles, but I don't need a pickle shake. But it was good. It was clever. It was fun. This one was great, and I would buy it. This is Garage Beer with their Shower Beer. I think it's a fun little kind of brand offshoot for somebody. If somebody was like coming up with a light beer brand, it's not that bad. Like, I think it's kind of a good brand. I'm a big Shower Beer drinker, big Shower Beer fan. So if somebody created a beer that told me that I was supposed to drink in the shower, I probably would. And then, of course, Sam Adams, they did their super sampler. They did two. They also reimagined the perfect pint into a torpedo glass, but I thought this one was more fun. It's a lobster bisque, clam chowder, a hearty tomato, and a beef and bali. Super sampler set. All right. Again, I don't need any of these beers, but I would try every single one of them. I don't need a whole 12 ounces, but just give me a couple ounces and I would drink them. But I don't know that there were too many people that got upset when they saw this, hoping that it was real. Maybe there was somebody. I don't know. It's just fun. I like people that can still have fun with beer. Like, it's gotten so stressful and chaotic, and we need more things that force places to just have fun with it. And I think that April Fool's is a good, I guess, a good excuse to do that. All right, I think we have this little glass, and then just a tiny bit more, and then we'll crack open a beer and then wrap it up. So good. All right, there we go. Last little bit. Not even a full glass. Every time I finish a beer, I want to like chuck it off camera like they do on Barstool Perspective. That's probably not a good idea. Especially since this room, like, on the camera, this looks like this is just like a little podcast studio that I have, and it's just this fun little room for me just to sit and live stream. It's like, it's more of a closet. Think of this like a closet that I keep all of my camera equipment in. Like, this whole wall, and like just off camera and over, all of that is like camera equipment and lighting and things like that. Like, it's just all expensive stuff. Even like in here, like this is not just like some random, this is a shelf that's full of more camera equipment. Like, it's all everywhere. So I'm not chucking bottles in here at all. Kanpai. All right, we should open a beer and then wrap things up. Beer glass. Look at that. So convenient. It's like I planned this. It's a very tall glass, though. And I'll get that there so we can get it on the drink cam. This is a weird one. I'm going to be honest. And I think I mentioned when the label popped up how weird it was timing-wise. This was released in February as part of the Small Batch Society. This is Pumpkin Coffee from Urban Artifact, with that pumpkin octopus. I would love to go back and update. Somewhere on the website, I have like this little this post that was like a key to tell you what all the flavors were based off of what was on the artwork. I don't know how accurate that is anymore and how much they've stuck to it or how still stick to it. But I'm pretty sure that when there's an octopus, it means there's coffee in the beer. I think that's the secret to that one. And there's different animals for different adjuncts. So, little trivia there. But I don't know why you release a pumpkin beer in February. Don't know. I'm not going to fight it. I don't, you know, whatever. It's pumpkin colored. I still always do this little shake on their beers. I don't know why, because they centrifuge them all now, so there's never chunks in them, but some kind of weird habit, I guess. I also obviously did not figure out the zoom on this right with a big tall glass. We're ringing, and my phone's all the way over here. Hey, you're on the Weekly Pint. Who is this?
Hey, Noam, what's up? It's Zach. I didn't want to make you feel like you're lonely cheersing yourself for just drinking a beer, so I wanted to cheers you on this beer that you're drinking.
Well, cheers.
It's a fruit tart.
It is a fruit tart.
But yeah, cheers. I'm drinking street size. Yes, it is a fruit tart, and you know I'm calling because the bat signal went up when you said pumpkin, so I'm just kidding. But no, I did have that one. It is actually pretty decent beer, actually, since I trade Elijah all the time for the small batch series. I did see they have some new ones coming out here, actually, I think in the next week or so, that are really good looking, or they look really good. I forget what those flavors were off the top of my head. But
yeah, I can't remember. I could pull them up real quick.
I know. They released all of them. Elijah sent it to me, and I was like, ooh, that sounds good. That sounds good, too. But I'm calling on the phone, so I'm actually not looking at my phone while I'm calling. Usually I have my ear pods in, but I decided, hey, since you're wrapping up the show tonight, I figured I'd call. And what I'm drinking is I decided to pick up over at White Oak this morning was the Speak of the Devil Caramel Hazelnut Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
It's that one is actually pretty good. For some reason, I thought it was barrel-aged, but I'm an idiot and didn't read the label, and I like the barrel-aged more. But it's still tasty, but I liked it on tap better than I do the can. Have you ever had beers where you're like, man, I like this way better in the tap than I do in the can?
Yeah, I've had some that go both ways. There's some that I like more on tap, and then there's some that, like, once I get them in packaging, I just think they're better in packagings. I don't know why. I think it's probably different reasons for different beers. April is the anniversary releases for the Small Batch Society. So they brought back some other stuff that was voted on by Small Batch members. Let's see. They have Golden Gadget. So that's a gadget, but made with golden raspberries. They have the one that I'm the most interested in is the black raspberry, black walnut, and maple syrup.
Oh, yes. Anything with maple.
And then they have the paperweight orange smoothie. So apricots, orange zest, vanilla beans. That one will be pretty solid. Nice. Cherry's Jubilee returns. I'm all about that one. I love a good cherry
That's
beer.
That's the one I think I was looking at, too. I wanted the cherry Jubilees. I was like, ooh, the maple one and the cherry Jubilees, because anything with maple. And then, you know, it's going to be spring here soon, and you start drinking all these beers. You're like, oh, man, that's refreshing, that's refreshing. And of course, I'm a stout guy all year round. But I will say, I don't know, I'm sure you saw it within the social media stuff going on, but I tried this beer. I saw it was kind of hyped this last week. It was by RAR. It was that Crab Faux Show, but for sure, or however you pronounce it.
I have not seen that.
It was a red can, and it was like, I think it was like it's some kind of IPA that they collaborated with another brewery here in Ohio. Again, I have to look at my phone what the name of it was, but it was like super good. It was like, I guess there was only, so what I was told was, Standard Beer, Brett out Standard Beer said he had made a post about it. I'm like, I've never heard of this, but RAR started coming back because they go in and out of distribution when they're out of order. So some people don't like them. Some people do. I do. And the most recent one was a Happy Gilmore reference. The one can I got was actually pretty good. It was like a Skittles one. It was something like it's called Tap Taparoo, if you're ever familiar with the Happy Gilmore movies, mm-hmm. which, of course, the sequel is coming out, too. So anyway, they released only he was telling me 10 cases, I believe, to the whole state of Ohio. And it just so happens to be that the brewery they collaborated with got 5 of those. And then Standard Beer got a case, and then the Root Cellar got a case out of all places. The Root Cellar, Brett ran out at Standard. I was like, oh shit, I really wanted to get to try this, so I couldn't get out there in time. But when I called the Root Cellar, they helped me some, and they sold out immediately right after that, too. So it's an IPA. It was like, I'm trying to like compare what it was. It was like super smooth, and it was just like, it was almost like a triple IPA in a weird way. It had like piney notes. something about it, it was like, man, this is actually really good. And some people online, Untappd or whatever, if you use that, still, they were, everyone's like rating it high. So I was like, I got to try this beer. And it was actually really good. And it was only like $5, I think, for the can. Usually stuff like that's like $6 or $7 because it's rare, but it was actually really good. But it's called Crab Toe Shore, if you ever get a chance to try it.
So. Yeah, if I ever come across it. But I also I don't like running around hunting down that kind of stuff anymore. Like I'm more into, and obviously the Small Batch Society, those are kind of, you know, rare releases sometimes, but I'm part of the club. Like, sure. I just mail them, or they don't, I don't get a mail to go pick them up, but you know, like it, I don't know. Like, I don't want to like go chase down a beer. Like, I want to be able to go to the store and grab a beer if I want to drink a beer. And I
guess I'm just the guy that likes to do that.
There's nothing wrong with it. And like, don't get me wrong. Like, if there's something that is really kind of neat and unique, and like, you know, there's definitely things that I look at, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I haven't seen that before. I want that. I'm also just not gonna chase it down.
Well, I also know you're a big local guy, which I am too. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, there are a lot of distro things. We're getting a distro, and I'm always excited for it. For example, Bottle Logic is finally coming this, I think it's this week, I believe. I know Wandering Monster got their I know they collaborated with Bottle Logic out of California, but the release of the bottles, I believe, and maybe some more taps we'll start seeing around. I'm pretty sure probably by tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday, because usually really, beers start coming out like on Tuesdays. Between Tuesdays and Thursday, all the new stuff comes out. And I talked to the guys out at Higher Gravity, and Jason, and then they said that they're supposed to be getting some in this week, which I've always been a fan of Bottle Logic. I've had a lot of theirs before. I guess my point is, I'm just really excited that Cincinnati is getting a lot of cool things in distribution now from like a lot of states that most people used to have to trade an arm and a leg for.
A couple ways to look at it too. There's, you know, it's exciting and it's cool that some of that stuff is coming in here, but I think it says a lot about the state of the craft beer industry though, that, not that this is the case with Bottle Logic, but if things aren't selling straight out of your tap room or out of your all current distribution outlets, and you have to start finding new places to sell your beer, that's concerning. Yeah. You know, when you look at breweries that like New Glarus, that just doesn't leave the state, hasn't left the state in a long time. They actually did at one point. That's a whole other story for a different podcast. But they just sell in their spot, and that's who they are, and that's all that they do. And like, that's, there's something refreshing about that too. That's just where the beer is.
I get that.
So I don't know. There's a couple different ways to look at it. There's a lot of really, really great beer available here in Cincinnati. And not that I don't drink beer that's not from here. And I do, especially when you're talking about making, you know, content for videos and things like that. Sometimes drinking things that isn't from here is entertaining or interesting or things like that. If I'm just drinking for my own enjoyment or for my own pleasure, or however you want to put it, I'm drinking local 9.5 times out of 10, because there's just great stuff here that I haven't gotten a chance to try, and things that I have tried that I love that I haven't gotten to drink in a long time, and a lot of it. So like, I just, you know, if I'm have X amount of dollars that I'm going to spend every month on things to shove into my face, be it food or booze, I want those. Mm-hmm. Those dollars to mean something in a different way than supporting somebody from outside of here, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, it totally makes sense too. And like I said, like local stuff, I myself like to buy a lot of local, and sometimes I'll go back and get something else. Like I just recently got started to go back to like some things from Narrow Path, and yeah. They had a barrel aged barley wine that came out. I just totally forgot the name of it. I posted something about it in the 513 group, but I went back and because I had somebody pick me up a bottle. We did a trade, and I was like, "Oh my god, this is so good!" So I had to get a second bottle so I could age it, sit on it, because barley wines are usually pretty good at aging. And I just was like, whoa, I really like the Barrel Age series over here that Narrowpath's been doing recently, and they got a lot of good shit. So
yeah, and that's, I mean, that's, you know, when you start talking about barrel aged stuff, and like I was talking a lot about Brett aged beers a couple weeks ago. And so there are things that are hard to find locally. And so for that, maybe you start to lean outside of the local area, just trying to find the best examples that you can. And for a long time, like, there were a lot of things like that that just didn't exist here. You know, when New England IPAs, you know, first started popping up, you couldn't get them here. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until that you had some of those places starting to kind of experiment with it that you could. And even then, they weren't as good as some of the other, you know, examples outside of town. So I get it. Sure. I get it in lots of different different situations that you would drink stuff that isn't local. But
And I do like the fun local stuff, the rare stuff. One of the last one I could think of is, well, I mean, there's plenty of people have done it, but like Dan out at Swine City, when he does like his, like, so many bottles or so many cans of this and this, or his Skyline Chili beer and all that stuff, and he has them all numbered. I thought that was a really cool idea. I mean, because that's the fun part about some of that stuff. You're like, oh man, I got number one or number 20 of 100 or something like that. And you're like, oh, there's only 100 of these made or something like that. That's always fun, though.
Yeah. So, there's nothing wrong with it.
Anyway. Yeah. But like I said, I just wanted to cheer you up and haven't called in a while. Last time I tried to call, your phone was disconnected. I think that was 2 weeks ago. Well, you were trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah, we had a bad cable we had to replace.
It's all good, man. You run a lot of stuff, and then you're, you know, trying to get sponsorships from the greatest potato chips ever, Dix.
Yep, shout out to Dix Potato Chips, the greatest potato chips in the universe. If you know what, Zach, I think that you should go eat a bag of Dix. I think everybody should go eat a bag of Dix, because they are the best potato chips in the universe.
Oh, man.
For anybody who hasn't tried them, go try them. Like, go get some. If you can't find them in your favorite grocery stores or local dive bars, just get online. Go to DixPotatoChips.com and get your own.
Even gas stations. They're the best. Actually, they just stocked up. They stocked up over my favorite gas station, White Oak Marathon. They stocked up right recently, so there's a whole bunch of new ones there.
I love when I find myself at a place that I didn't know you could get Dix, and I sit there and I see them, you know, either behind the bar or, you know, in a display where when you're checking out or something. I love it when I see them, and I didn't know that they were there. Yeah, Dix are growing. Yeah, Dix are growing fast.
They're getting bigger and bigger. That's actually. Right. Actually, somebody over in another country, actually Tom and the group, my friend, sent me some video of some people trying Dix potato chips. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, YouTube, I saw that thing.
But I think it was somebody. I was like, oh shit, they're getting big now.
That's right. So. Dix are getting big.
But my favorite is the barbecue. What was your favorite again?
I go back and forth. My number one is the hot. I love the hot, but sometimes I don't need the hot. So number two would be the salty. Salty Dix are pretty solid. And then the barbecue is great too, but I keep them all. And I do eat all three of them on a very regular basis.
Well, I'm hoping he brings out. I saw he's bringing out some more flavor here coming down the pipe, and I really want to try some of the. I saw some sample ones on the website. I forget which one it was. But
he's got some other flavors coming. I may or may not have gotten to try a prototype Dick. Maybe.
Oh, that's awesome.
So there might be some fun stuff coming.
Now he's got to get you some Dick swag. Maybe you have some key, you know, like one of those necklaces with a little Dick chip on it or something.
Yeah.
And, like, wear a gold chain.
There's the possibilities are endless.
That would be awesome.
Golden.
You get some more swag.
Dicks around my neck.
and then Marco was going to mark Dicks around your neck. Yeah. And then Marco is going to want some of the Dicks underwear. So
Yeah. Dicks underwear is probably has to happen at some point.
I know. Maybe some tents will be pitched. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, on that note, I'm going to let you go. You have a great night, sir.
Yeah, thanks for calling
in. I'll continue to watch you. All right. No problem, man. Take it easy, brother.
Cheers. When I tell you guys that I love Dick's potato chips, it's not just because they sponsor the show. Like, I really, really, really love the company, and I, that's not something that I take lightly when I endorse a a company, especially on this show, because this show this show is a little different than the Brewcast or the blog, things like that. This is this show is very personal to me. It's because it's a happy hour. It really is supposed to be built around this idea of sitting and just having drinks with you guys. And because of that, if the show is sponsored, which it is, it has to be a product that I believe in and that I think is worthy of that. So know that I believe in dicks from the bottom of my heart. We'll talk about this beer for just a minute before we wrap things up and get moving here, because I had a big week. It's good. It's not like, so pumpkin, this does not taste like a pumpkin beer like you would expect. Like, it's not it's not pumpkin spice. Like, it's pumpkin. It's like a gourdy pumpkin. And then you've got the coffee. There's some cinnamon, some ginger. So I guess there is a little, and some nutmeg. So there is some pumpkin spice, now that I say that. But that's not what it tastes like to me. It just tastes like a gourdy, earthy coffee. Even the coffee is not like super strong. It's good. Marco wants to know if there's an after show. Not tonight. I'm going to start doing after shows like maybe once or twice a month. But I'm going to space them out. I might also start doing, instead of doing an after show, I might start doing another live stream of some kind during the month, during the month. So to let some of those people kind of jump on live that don't get to jump on normally. It won't be a full-on show like this, but it'll be something. Maybe like a Q&A thing. You submit some questions and I'll just answer them. Something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It'd be a good excuse for me to have a drink during the day. Marco says, well, okay. I mean, you can call me Marco. We can just do a show. Zach reminds everybody to go out and support the local breweries when they're back up and running. Yeah, some of them will be back up quickly. I imagine places like Dead Low, Moorline, they'll be back up pretty quickly. It'll take 13 Below a little bit to get cleaned up and back up and running, because they got clean. They have some. The whole tap room is going to be covered in mud, whereas the other places are just waiting for the roads to open back up. So get out and support local. Support people no matter what. Support places you love. That's the most important thing that we can do with any of this. Just if you like somebody and you want them to be around, get out there and support them, because that's the only way to make it happen. we'll be back next week. Again, thank you to Dick's Potato Chips for sponsoring this show. I don't take that lightly. It takes a lot for me to tattoo your name on the side of my studio, and that's what we do with Dick's. So get out there and support them. They're a great example of a local company that deserves our support. And we'll be back next week to do this thing. We'll drink something fun. I have some short tasting videos that I think you guys will like. I have a longer form video that should be hopefully done soon. Another update on the Bruckman project, which I think is kind of a fun video because of, you'll see. There's the saga continues. The story just keeps on growing, and there should be some chances to get your tickets to get on a tour soon, very soon. Anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you everybody for tuning in. If you like this show, if you like any of the stuff that I do, or if you hate the stuff that I do, no matter what, you can get on. You can go to thegnarlygnome.com/support, and you can become a gnomey. And I encourage everybody, if you've been on the fence, do it right now, because there's swag coming this spring-ish. Spring, I don't know when spring ends. It's coming. I promise it's coming. I finalized one of the designs this weekend. And yeah, there's some good stuff, and I'm trying to figure out a way to do one of the things that I wanted to do, and I think I figured it out. But you always get first dibs at new stuff if you're in a Nomi, be it content or actual swag. So if you've been on the fence, just sign up. It helps. We will, like I said, we'll see you next week. Thank you guys for tuning in. Get out there, be gnarly, drink local, drink somebody that drink something from somebody that you you love and appreciate. It makes a difference for them too. We'll see you guys next week. I need more sake. Cheers, everybody. When I say drink somebody, I actually mean that I'm going to drink this Sam Adams clam chowder beer with their lobster bisque beer. That's the somebody. I would try. I really would try it. I don't want to, but I would. I would try it. Try me, Sam Adams. I'll drink it.